Another large white envelope, Philippe. Feels like at least a couple of letters inside. I've made a whole pot of tea again. Sometimes I even put out two cups on the tray. Habit, I suppose. But sometimes I do it deliberately. Two cups, like we always had, sitting here, looking out at the garden. I don't want to get used to you not being here. Now then, Philippe, let's see what they've been up to, shall we? Two letters. And what's this? A postcard. It's from Laurel, Kevin, and their three young children. I do admire Laurel. She always seems a doting young mother. Can't be easy for her coping with the demands of a family, but she seems to love every moment. It's a picture of a beach. Typical postcard view of blue sea and sky. Oh, Philippe, they're in France. There's a coincidence. Hi, Kathy.
I thought you'd like to know we are in France. Our first vacation abroad. Imagine. We are camping, and we arrived in a thunderstorm. At first, we thought we'd have to dig a trench around the tent, but the sun has come out for the last few days, and it's glorious. Kevin insisted on learning the French for all the foods I shouldn't eat. He really is taking care of me, and he reads the ingredients on every packet in the supermarket. The kids are as lively and exhausting as ever. There is a huge playground here where they sit on things and expect me to push them around. With much love, Laurel, Kevin, and the gang.
I wonder if they had to put the tent up in the rain. Or it might be one of those campsites where tents are already there, and you just move in. I do hope so. That would have made things a lot easier for them. It's strange. We have this amazing bond between us, but it's the small, unimportant details that make me realize how little I really know these people. And you certainly don't get much information on a postcard. Still, Laurel's making the most of her life as usual. Look at all those exclamation marks. Thunderstorm. Huge playground. She makes everything an adventure rather than a setback or a battle. Even trips to the supermarket. Ah, this one's from Evelyn. Always the same pale blue paper, handwritten with careful loops and swirls, and always a space at the top of the first sheet where the addresses would normally be written. My dear Kathy,
I've just had the most wonderful day. I had to write and tell you. My son came round with his wife and their gorgeous new baby daughter. Can you imagine my joy at being able to see my granddaughter for the first time? She's so tiny, all scrunched up and snuggled in woolly pinkness. I just had to tell you what she looked like to express my gratitude again.
Evelyn's letters always make me smile. They're so chatty and newsy, but in an everyday way. And as you'd expect, they're always full of colors and descriptions. She has made cakes, and there's lots of detail about her garden. Sounds a bit like our garden here. Must take up a good deal of her time. I feel I know Evelyn a lot better than I do Laurel and her family. We seem to have a lot in common. I feel we would be good friends if we ever met. Perhaps one day, rather than this odd pen pal relationship, we might meet face to face. Oh, imagine that, Philippe. That would be so scary. I have a mental picture of what Evelyn looks like. Very much like me, perhaps slightly older. Eye problems like hers tend to begin in the late 50s. What if she is nothing like I imagine her? I have this picture painted in my head of her eyes, the same as yours. Which is silly and just a little bit creepy. Your eyes are blue. Evelyn's might be completely different. No. It might be best if we don't see each other. I've grown fond of Evelyn the way she is in my imagination. I don't want to spoil my impression of her. I can see her, gazing down at her new granddaughter. She doesn't mention her name. It's those little details again that are missing. Things I could ask if she were sitting here, sharing this pot of tea. Perhaps it's best that there is this cloak and dagger process which keeps us both one step removed. Though one day, if Evelyn wanted to meet, if it was her suggestion... Evelyn's letters always end in effusive thank yous and that single affectionate X. I'm sure she means the kiss for you, Philippe. I should be jealous, blowing Evelyn's kiss at your photo. One more letter. Typed and on stiff white paper. It must be from Michael. You can tell he's a teacher of English. His letters are always that little bit formal. I can imagine how it must annoy him not to put the to or from addresses at the top and not to add his surname at the bottom. Or perhaps he does put in all that forbidden information. From the little I know of him, I can't imagine Michael breaking all the rules. Though, you know, that could explain why his letters are always typed. For all I know, the transplant authority could retype them before sending them to me, and they could get anybody to sign them from Michael. Only the first name is allowed. They insist that everything else is anonymous. What do they think I'm going to do that they have to keep this information from me? Ignore me, Philippe. I'm going crazy, imagining some conspiracy in these lovely letters. I make assumptions about these people. What else can I do? It's all guesswork. Because, in the end, they are still strangers. These letters, I only know what they want me to know. They sound sincere and genuine, at least Laurel and Evelyn do. Michael, I'd say, is definitely more of a facts and figures man. Dear Kathy, I hope this letter finds you well.
I've been thinking recently about the letters I've sent to you previously. I always seem to give you boring details of how I'm progressing at work. I suppose I wanted you to think that I was doing well. I've just been offered a promotion at the school, to the head of my department, and I stunned everyone by turning it down. Now, I still find teaching very rewarding. That's why I chose this profession. But I've been offered the chance to do something different. By the time you get this letter, I'll be in a remote African village helping to build a school from scratch. It's something I've been thinking of for some time now. I went there a couple of months ago to see the area for myself, and the people and kids are wonderful. They just lack the resources for an adequate education. Half the staff at my old school thinks I'm crazy. The other half have been quite encouraging. But what really persuaded me to go was something one of the mothers said in that village. She had heard why I was looking around the dusty clearing where the school is to be built. She smiled, the biggest smile you've ever seen. And she said, "I had a good heart." And that's true, Kathy. You know that's true. And I just had to write to you and let you know. So, quite a transformation. Stuffy academic too. Well, I'm not quite sure yet. Builder, teacher, whatever this little adventure leads to. I hope you still think I'm doing well, and that the difficult decisions you and your husband made are still bearing fruit. I'll write and let you know how things are progressing. There's no real postal system where I'm going, but as soon as I can, I'll contact the transplant authority by email or something. I'm sure they'll pass a message on to you. Kind regards, Mike.
I knew I'd blub. I always do. Trouble is, I don't want to like these people. I'm jealous, because they have what I've lost. They have you, Philippe. All I have are my memories. But I do like them and admire them. They have their struggles, but still manage to send their gratitude and their letters. Letters from strangers. Laurel, Evelyn, and Mike.
Our first vacation abroad. Imagine, we are camping, and we arrived in a thunderstorm.
Can you imagine my joy at being able to see my granddaughter for the first time?
And she said, I had a good heart.
Pancreas, corneas, and heart. Your kidneys are out there too, somewhere. But not everyone wants to make contact. They're not a bad bunch, eh, Philippe? And they do help me to remember you. Perhaps that's why I sometimes put out 2 cups. Because you haven't really gone. Shall we read them again?